You're hip deep in tax season. Are you getting all your financial ducks in a row before it's time to give unto Caesar? I am Rob West. The filing deadline will be here before you know it. So if you haven't started prepping yet, now's the time to do it. I'll have some tips that could save you headaches. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. No one likes paying taxes, but it's not only a civil mandate, it's a biblical one as well. Romans 13:7 tells us, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed. Of course, we don't want to pay more in taxes than we have to, so we need to take steps to avoid that and make the process as simple and error-free as possible. The first step is to get moving now. The earlier you file, the sooner the IRS will process your return. Analysts predict that even with more IRS employees on the job, new and confusing filing requirements will create a backlog, slowing your refund if you have one coming. You can make the process go faster by setting up direct deposit with the IRS. Don't procrastinate just because you think your return is simple, with maybe just one W-2 from your only employer and the standard deduction. And if that's the case, file your return electronically. Mailing in a paper return will definitely slow things down. If you have a more complicated return, it's important to start gathering your information now. If you think you need help, you'll want to hand over your documents to a tax professional and get the process started as soon as possible. That will give you more time to dig up any missing information and correct discrepancies. Another step is to double-check everything. Inaccuracies are a sure way to gain extra scrutiny by the IRS and possibly trigger an audit. Keep in mind that the agency computers will cross-check the numbers on your return with W-2 and 1099 forms on file. If there are discrepancies, your return will get kicked out for a manual review and potential audit. You can double-check the numbers yourself by going to irs.gov. Look for a link to Get Your Tax Record. You'll get a free digital copy of your tax transcript. You may discover that you're missing information that you need to file your return before the tax deadline, which, by the way, is April 18th this year for every state except California, where it's been extended, so you have a few extra days. If you know you can't make the deadline, you can file for an extension. That will extend the time you have to file to October 16th. Now, that's only an extension for filing, not an extension for paying. You may not know exactly how much you owe, but you're required to make a good faith estimate and send that amount in by April 18th. There's an old joke that the only thing certain in life are death and taxes, but they should add changes to tax laws to that. This year, there are new rules for credits and deductions, so let's go over some of them. The child tax credit of up to $3,600 was partially doled out ahead of time in 2021 as part of COVID relief. That credit now returns to its original amount of $2,000 per child. Again, due to COVID, the child and dependent care credit was increased to a maximum of $8,000 in 2021. That now returns to its previous maximum of $2,100. Another tax break gone bye-bye is the separate donation to charity deduction. In 2021, you could claim those deductions on a separate line, even if you took the standard deduction. But when filing your 2022 taxes, you'll have to itemize to get a deduction for charitable giving. It's not entirely bad news. The clean energy vehicle credit remains at $7,500 if you bought a qualifying electric or plug-in hybrid vehicle in 2022. Now, if you receive payments by digital platforms like Venmo, Cash App, or PayPal, you might have heard some buzz about IRS Form 1099-K, the IRS plan to require those companies to report transactions of business account holders who received more than $600 $1 million in transactions in 2022. The previous threshold was $20,000, so this would have affected a lot of people this year. However, a last-minute change in the law has pushed that back to 2023, so you don't have to deal with that this year. But make no mistake, you still have to report and pay taxes on income from self-employment and the sale of goods or other business transactions. Okay, so those are your tips for filing your taxes this year. Much more to come just around the corner, including your questions. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In ancient times, people had extremely high standards for hospitality. If you showed up unannounced, your host would take you in, cook you food, make sure you had what you needed, and only then would he be able to ask who you were and what you were up to. It was a different world, of course, but it sheds light on the call from Hebrews 13. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Open your life to those in need. Show hospitality. Why? Not just because we might end up welcoming an angel, but because Christ has welcomed us in. He already knows our name. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, it's our privilege here at AFR to allow God's Word to intersect with every facet of your lives, whether it's how you show up at the polls to vote or what you're doing in your marriage or just your own personal journey with the Lord, but also with your finances, the resources God has entrusted to you. That's what we want to do on this program is bring you the counsel of Scripture so you can apply it to the decisions in your choice and choices you're making as a steward or a manager of all that God has asked you to be caretaker over. All right, let's head to the phones today. We are going to begin in Chicago. Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a question about possibly refinancing my home. I have about $80,000 in a couple of like 10% interest loans in debt, and I owe $78,000 on my home. So I got some pretty good equity in it. It's worth about $200,000 to $250,000, somewhere in that range. And didn't know if that was a good idea right now or just keep paying.
Yeah, tell me about the roughly $80,000 you have in debt. What type of debt is that?
Just personal debt. I had my wife was in school, and so just kind of lived off of credit cards for a little while, and then rolled that in into that.
Okay, and so it's all still on credit cards?
No, it's in SoFi loan, like that. But it's just 10% instead of 25% credit cards.
Yeah, is any of it left on credit cards? Have you rolled it all into personal loans?
No, it's all rolled over. There's no credit card right now.
Okay, and tell me about kind of where you're at with your spending plan right now. Are you balancing your budget, and do you have a surplus left? Are you continuing to accrue debt? Where are you at there?
Right now, I'm able to save around 800 a month if I'm careful.
Okay. All right. So have you added any credit card debt in a while?
No.
Okay, good. I understand where you're coming from. I think the key here is I don't love the idea of you refinancing your house for several reasons. Before I explain those, though, what is your current interest rate on your mortgage?
It is at 6.5 right now. The new rate would be 6.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you have a good bit of equity, and I realize you don't have one of these low interest rates interest rate mortgages that a lot of folks have at 3 or less. However, you would be taking unsecured debt. This personal loan is unsecured, therefore no collateral, and you'd be securing it to your house. So if the unexpected were to come down the road, you would potentially put your house in jeopardy. That's number one. Number two is, although we're getting the interest rate down from 10 to 6, we're probably stringing out the repayment period, because I suspect you'd go with a new 30-year mortgage. Even if you went with 15, we're still putting restarting that mortgage and perhaps taking this personal loan and stringing it out a bit longer. And then the third reason is you're going to have an expense there in terms of the mortgage itself. So, you're probably going to spend 5% on that refinance. So let's say you go to a new $160,000 loan. We're talking about potentially $5,000 to $8,000 in closing costs. So I think from my standpoint, I'd rather you leave that mortgage where it is, not incur the cost of refinancing, not string anything out any longer, and let's just really dial in to trying to limit your lifestyle as best as you can, get on a spending plan, use the envelope system, whatever you have to do to really free up as much margin on a monthly basis as you can, so you can just attack that personal loan right where it is, not taking out any new debt, but making sure you try to get as much toward principal reduction as possible each month. So that would be, my best advice. I don't like you putting it on the house for those reasons. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, it does. It's kind of scary because going from owing $70,000 to $160,000, that you don't want to. I don't want to do that either, really. I just wanted to make sure it made sense. But, the loans, I do have two loans, one's $30,000 and one's $40,000. So they're both at 10% interest.
Okay, yeah. So I realize that's high. I mean, it's not as high as it would be if it was on variable interest credit card debt, which is now averaging 20% plus, but it's still high. So that gives you some incentive to make the hard decisions to keep lifestyle spending in check. So you've got that margin to reduce that debt over time. Stay after it. You'll get there. I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm confident you can do it. Thanks for calling, Jeff. All the best to you, my friend. To Miami, Florida. Hey, Joyce, thanks for calling. I know we didn't get you on the air yesterday, so glad we got you back on the line. How can I help?
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to get your advice. Like, I have a credit card that family member use, and should I transfer? I got something in the mail, 18 months, no interest. Is that a good thing to do, or what other advice can you give me into that?
Yeah, tell me about what's going on here with the family member. So this is a joint account, or it's in your name and you have an authorized user?
I have an authorized user. She's my name, and she's the authorized user.
Okay. And what was the arrangement for this? Was this done to boost her credit, or did you actually intend for her to be able to use this and charge things?
No, not to charge things. She just needed some emergency funds, but now she's just charging and charging and charging. I just want to make some decisions. not right now. So I was wondering if that was good to transfer it over to that that's offering the 18 months and try to have a little talk with them, see if we could get it down.
Yeah. You know, I would close this account, Joyce, and I'd move it into a credit counseling program to try to get it paid off as quick as you can. Here's the reality. I mean, the Bible is pretty clear about co-signing. It says don't do it. And the reason is we see that bear out in just what you're describing. The Federal Trade Commission kind of reinforces this idea that we see in God's Word when we hear that between 40 and 50% of the time when you co-sign for another person, you will end up having to step in and take care of the debt unless you want to trash your credit. And that's what's going on here. You've, in your good heart, tried to be of help to her, to give her something to fall back on. And it sounds like, I don't want to overstate this, but just from hearing you describe it, it sounds like she's taking advantage of the situation. She's charging it. It doesn't sound like she's paying it back on a timely basis, perhaps because she was using it to spend money that she doesn't have, and therefore she doesn't have the ability to pay it down. The challenge is you're enabling her to live beyond her means despite your best interests, which is not going to help her solve, you know, her financial habits and practices moving forward. She needs to be able to live within her means. Now, maybe she needs some assistance along the way, and if the Lord has given you the ability to help, I'd rather you provide her a gift rather than giving her a credit card to continue to spend beyond what God has provided. So what I would do, Joyce, is sit down with her and say, listen, I did this to try to help. Obviously, it's gotten to a situation where I now have $7,000 in credit card debt. I don't have the ability to continue to fund this, and so I'm going to have to close the account. And then what I would do at this point is move it to a credit counseling program. I'd contact our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. You'll find them on the web, Joyce, at christiancreditcounselors.org. What they're going to do is close the card and get the interest rate down, but it's a permanent reduction. The problem with that 0% is not only are you going to have to pay a 2% fee up front to move it, but it's temporary, and then you're going to get into the balance transfer game. I'd rather you get a permanent reduction and have one level monthly payment to get this paid off once and for all, but you're going to have a tough love conversation with your sister about the fact that you're closing the account, and then perhaps in the future, if you want to help and you're able, do it through giving instead of a credit card co-signed. ChristianCreditCounselors.org is the website. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Back to the phones in just a moment. You know, I was thinking today, if we think about a biblical worldview of money, we realize it starts with God, Creator God, who owns everything. He creates us. We're His creation, created in His image. It all belongs to Him. He bestows upon us the power to create wealth, and He entrusts to us a portion of His resources. We're then able to use those, in part to enjoy them, to provide for our families, but also to give back. And we return a portion of what He's given to us back to Him as Creator God, which does a couple of things. Number one, it demonstrates our trust in Him, that His provision to us is complete, and that we understand He is, in fact, our provider. But it also is a way that it allows us to connect back into His activity. You see, in His gracious desire to allow us to participate with Him, He entrusts us with His resources that we can connect back into His activity. It's this virtuous cycle from the Creator to the creation back to the Creator. And that cycle just continues over and over again as God prospers us and as we give back. And that's where the joy comes from, by being connected into God's activity in our communities and with the person down the street and to the ends of the earth. It's really a phenomenal idea to consider when we think about the handiwork of God and how He's allowing us to participate with Him. Really exciting. All right, let's head back to the phones today. Antioch, Illinois. Hey, Marcia. Thanks for calling today. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? First of all, thank you very much for your show. I have learned so much over the years, so I appreciate that.
I appreciate you guys.
I do have a question. You beginning the show, you were talking about the 529. And I currently have two sons, have a 529 as the beneficiary. One son decided to enlist in our armed services, so he will not be using the money set aside for college. I did have another son who's still paying on his college loan debt, who is part of the 529 accounts. Is there a way for me to use the one son's account to pay down the other son's student loan debt?
Yeah, so you can transfer between 529s. Although they're, you know, some have a lifetime limit, you should be able to take the money that's available from the son who doesn't need it and transfer it to the 529 for the son with the beneficiary who can use it for qualified educational expenses. And if he doesn't use all that up, you could transfer it to somebody else, including yourself, as if you wanted to go back to school. So yeah, that is an option. So I would just call your 529 plan provider and let them know that you want to move from one to the other, and they can help you facilitate that.
Okay. Now I have another question about taking the 529s and turning them into a IRA or the Roth.
Yeah.
Can you take that lump sum and divide it into the parcels of the children that were on the count, or does it have to be that only that beneficiary gets that Roth?
Yeah. So we're still getting the details on this plan. It's very new. And again, it doesn't go into effect until 2024. But my understanding is that it is, as long as you follow the limits in terms of $6,500 per year and no more than, I believe it's $35,000 in your lifetime, that you can parse it out among different Roth IRAs. It doesn't necessarily have to be for that beneficiary. But again, we're still learning more about this, and we're still over a
year away from this being a reality. So a lot more details will be coming out. But this is going to be a great option for those folks that, you know, have balances built up in their 529s that go unused. So this can be, you know, put to good use and take advantage of that tax-free growth, except in this case, not for college, but now for retirement. So I think you will be able to move it among multiple beneficiaries, but we'll get more of the details in the months ahead. Okay.
Great. Thank you very much for your time. Have a blessed
Absolutely,
day.
Absolutely, Marcia, and you as well. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks.
To Naples, Florida. Hi, Tenley. How can we help you?
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
About a year ago, I refinanced my home and at a great 2.25% fix, but it went back to the, you know, 30 years again.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Actually, I only bought the home 5 years ago, but still it was a little bit of a backslide. But I have no PMI or anything on it, and it's just me here, living here right now. And so I keep getting things in the mail saying I should take out mortgage insurance. And I looked into it, it's about $30 a month. And I really don't know if I should do that or not. How important is that? I mean, there's some equity in my home because of the, you know, housing market. So I don't really know that I need mortgage insurance, or do I?
Yeah, this is really life insurance, Tenley. So essentially, it's basically insurance that pays your mortgage if you die, which could be a help to your family if you have dependents, if you had a spouse or a dependent that was living there and wanted to continue to live there beyond your life. But typically, what we would do is we would cover that in expense or risk through your life insurance, which needs to be much bigger than just the value of your mortgage. So as a starting point, we would say if you're trying to replace income, you'd want 10 to 12 times that income, for the breadwinner or for the spouse that has, you know, to replace income for the other spouse in the event of their death. And you could add on top of that income replacement amount enough to cover all the debts, including the mortgage. But you do that through one term life insurance policy that's going to be a lot less expensive than a mortgage protection insurance, which is just for the mortgage. It tends to be a bit more expensive. But if you don't have anybody who's depending upon you, who's going to live in that house and would want that mortgage paid off at your death, then you don't need mortgage insurance because at your death, that would be sold. The proceeds would become part of your estate and then could be given to heirs or charity based on your wishes. Does that make sense?
Right, yes. And that's what I have. I had a life insurance policy, but after my husband died, my grown kids, who were all on their own, said, "You don't need that anymore, Mom." So
yeah.
I got rid of that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the same would apply here with the mortgage protection insurance. So sounds like you're making a lot of great decisions. I don't think this is an expense you need to add to the rest of them. Thanks for your call, Tenley. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Have you downloaded the Faith by app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. To Chicago, hey, Roger, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob, nice talking to you.
You as well.
So I have four credit cards. With a credit card company, debt consolidation.
Okay.
They told me not to pay any of them. They would take care of it, but then I'll be falling behind. They say that they just got a offer for one of the credit cards, so they have three more to put the offer in for those. But they're taking too long. It's over like 3 months already, and they say the first offer wouldn't go through until March. Which would be 6 months, which is that on the first credit card. So my question is, should I still continue to work with them, or should I just cancel, because I don't want to be behind on my credit card?
Yeah. It sounds like you're working with a debt settlement company where they get you to stop making payments, and then they try to negotiate based on the fact that you're delinquent, a more favorable payback, either with a reduced lump sum payoff or some sort of payment plan. Does that sound like what you have engaged somebody to do for you?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I would stay far away from that, Roger. Debt settlement is not the way to go. That's going to ruin your credit. Because just as you said, their strategy is to have you stop paying, which means you become late. And once you get beyond 30 days late, now that's being reported to your credit report that you're delinquent, you're past due. And so that's going to start hurting your credit. But even more than that, it's just not a good strategy. What I would much prefer is for you to stay current and use a debt management program, which is a lot different than debt settlement. They're not going to ask you to stop paying and have you become late. They're going to get you into a program that already exists. This is not trying to negotiate something new. Each of the creditors already have a credit counseling interest rate that's going to be lower than what you're paying now. They'll work with you based on who your four creditors are to determine what those new rates will be. They'll tell you what your monthly payment will be, and then you'll make one monthly payment through the debt management company to the creditors, and you'll stay current. Now, given the fact that you're in arrears, you're behind, they can still work with you. You wouldn't have to get caught up in order to put it into debt management. And a lot of times they even re-age the accounts when they get enrolled in the program, which just means they're brought current. And therefore, that's going to help your credit score. So I would reach out to ChristianCreditCounselors.org and talk to them about a debt management program. I wouldn't spend another day working with this debt settlement company.
Yes. So what I did, I reached out to Trinity, And okay. then I spoke to one of the person there, and she told me that I have to be current. I can't be behind for her yeah. to be a part of her program.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I'm not familiar. I mean, I know Trinity has a great reputation, so I don't have any problem with them. I do know the folks at Christian Credit Counselors say that the creditors, when they accept their proposal, all the late fees and the creditor calls will stop. They get you back on track without you having to make a balloon payment to bring it current. And in most cases, they re-age the accounts, which means you're no longer past due. So I would reach out to ChristianCreditCounselors.org and let them take a look at your situation, and they're probably going to be able to work with you in your current state.
So is it different, Christian Credit Counsel, from Trinity?
It is two different companies, same idea. Both are debt management. And again, I don't have a problem with Trinity at all. I'm just saying, when we've talked to the folks at Christian Credit Counselors specifically about situations like this where you're past due, they've said they normally have no problem working with accounts like that. So it'd be worth a phone call for them to take a look at your accounts, and they can tell you how to proceed from here and let us know how it turns out. Thanks for your call, sir. To Ohio. Hi, Ellen. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I wanted to know what considerations we should think about in considering a vacation home. We're both 59, still working, no kids, no debt. And of course, my brother got a condo in Florida, and says, you should get one too. We like to vacation and travel. We weren't.
I think everybody
really
should have a condo
there.
In Florida. Why not?
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, so you're debt free. You feel like you're on track for long-term savings for retirement?
Yes.
Okay. And what would you have to put down on this condo, and how much would you be looking to spend? Have you done some research?
Not really. I just go by, his. We're looking, and I probably have to consider maybe $500,000, which, could probably do if we sell some savings.
Yeah. So you could either take on a small mortgage or perhaps even buy it for cash?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sounds like you all are in a really strong financial position here, debt-free. You've got plenty of assets, it sounds like, both for retirement as well as to make a purchase like this. They're not making any more Florida real estate. So, there's something to be said about being in that part of the world where, you're close to the water. A lot of people are relocating from out west and from the northeast down to Florida. That's not going to change anytime soon just because Florida doesn't have a state income tax. And so I think for that reason, the long-term prospects of Florida real estate is good. So the nice thing is you're buying an asset. Yes, it's going to have expense associated with it, upkeep and real estate taxes and property insurance, which is very expensive these days because of the hurricanes. But as long as you go into that knowing, we've got the assets to do it, we've got our eyes wide open in terms of the ongoing carrying costs of this thing. What are your condo association fees? Are they planning a major assessment because they got to, redo the whole seawall or something like that? It's all crumbling. I'm just making something up, but I've actually been there. Or beyond that, what's the property insurance and, the taxes going to be? As long as you count the cost, I don't see any reason why you guys wouldn't do this. And again, you've got an asset that would likely be appreciating that down the road, you guys could either move there and sell your current residence or sell it and probably make a profit. So I think you're checking all the boxes here. I don't see why you wouldn't do it.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you. Right. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yep.
You're very welcome, Ellen. I think the only other consideration is just given how strong your financial position is, just, always be asking the Lord along the way, what are you calling us to and how much is enough? And what is that finish line, financially speaking, in terms of your lifestyle? And what is your finish line in terms of net worth and accumulation? And I'm not saying you're beyond that and living lavishly. This is a question we all need to be asking all the time so that we do draw some lines in the sand to say, say, God, you know, beyond this point, I want to continue to accelerate my giving and be a part of your work. You know, you can, nothing wrong with having a second home. I don't think that's out of God's will by any means, but I think, you know, we all should be on our knees saying, Lord, you know, what should each of us be doing? But in terms of just from a pure financial standpoint, it sounds like you guys are in a great spot to be able to do this and enjoy it and have a great next season of your life, being able to kind of go back and forth between your primary residence and a residence in Florida. And who knows, if you want to live there at least 6 months out of the year, you might even be able to save some taxes. So that might be worth looking at as well if you were to change your residency down to Florida. Hey, thanks for calling. All the best to you guys in the days ahead. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Amanda and Arthur and Marilyn and perhaps your question as well. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Stay with us.
I love this country. But can I tell you something? I love the Lord more than I love this country, and I love the body of Christ more than I love this country. So it is because I love you, frankly, I have to tell the truth. There are many that are more concerned with the consequences in our nation than we are about the cause.
The Hamilton Quarter. Weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, as we head toward the end of the month, we would invite you to become a financial partner here at FaithFi. You know, we rely on your listener support to do what we do on this broadcast every day, plus our app, our community, our website, all the free resources we make available to help God's people be wise and faithful stewards. If you've benefited from this ministry and you'd like to help support our work, we'd certainly be grateful for you to make a one-time gift or become a monthly partner. You can do that quickly and easily and securely, I might add, on our website, again, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. All right, back to the phones we go. Amanda's in Illinois. Hi, Amanda. How can I help you?
Hey there, Rob. I've been helping my 80-year-old mother with her finances ever since my dad passed away 10 years ago, and I'm wondering what to do about a large sum of money that came to term in an account for her recently. The account was an indexed annuity, but I didn't realize that until it came to term because all the documents said that it was a Premier Select IRA. She was getting an annualized return of 2.25%, and she was getting RMDs. So I just thought it was a traditional IRA.
Sure.
But now we're being advised to move that into what is called a multi-year guaranteed fixed annuity. But I don't understand how this particular annuity works. And I think she'd also be required to take RMDs from it. But there is some terminology on there that I don't understand. And I'm wondering if there's actually something that we should put it in instead.
Yeah, sure.
Advice for that.
Okay, very good. Well, a couple of thoughts. You know, this type of fixed annuity offers a guaranteed fixed interest rate for a certain period. So usually from 3 to 10 years. In that respect, it's similar to a CD, and the interest rates are often the same. But you can access the money in the annuity easier than the CD, which you would have to cash in and pay a penalty. But if you don't need access to the principal for that long, you certainly could be better off having this money in a very conservative stock and bond portfolio. Annuities generally are not subject to RMD rules. You don't have to start withdrawing them at age 72, or that age is actually moving forward with some new legislation, but the same applies there, and there's no minimum withdrawal required unless it's owned by a qualified retirement plan, and then you would have to meet the RMD requirements. So do you or does she have an advisor? Because it sounds like it might make sense, Amanda, to have somebody look over all of these assets and really make sure that this decision is being made in light of her overall financial situation.
She does not have an advisor. This was a financial person at her bank where it was being managed, I think. Okay. So this is just the person at the bank that was telling her to do this, but she already has a large sum of money in a different annuity that she would be able to cash out without penalty at this point.
Okay.
And she gets a monthly, like her Social Security pension is more than enough to cover all of her expenses.
Okay.
Yeah,
so what does she have in investable assets then when you put it all together?
Well, this other separate annuity that she has is a she could cash it out. Right now it's at about $220,000. She has about $80,000 in a checking and money market fund at her bank.
Yeah.
And this other one that just came to term is a little over $100,000. But it said on there that she's required to take these distributions, and she's been getting them yearly.
Okay.
And it was called a Premier Select IRA.
Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like the annuity is a part of a retirement plan, and that would make some sense. So, you know, it could be rolled out to an IRA if that's the case, and then it could be just managed there as conservative, you know, as she wants it to be, or you acting on her behalf. You could do it in, you know, brokered CDs, or you could actually move a portion of it into a bond portfolio. You could even have a stock allocation. I mean, I think the idea here is if her bills are covered and then some, and she's got plenty of reserves, cash to fund her living expenses and even the unexpected. Maybe she has 6 months or a year's worth of cash, worth of expenses available. Then the rest of this could be put to work looking longer term, you know, managing this for her heirs, if that's ultimately where this is going, or just to grow it so that it's there if she needs it for long-term care or ultimately to give it away. Now, if you or she is just not wanting to take any risk with it, then, you know, that's where these annuities can make some sense, but they're not all created equal. They're complicated. They have good, you know, a number of fees and associated with them, and lockups where you know, if you open a new annuity, you're often going to have surrender charges, you know, for a period of time. So, you know, I think the purest way to manage this money would be to roll it out to either an IRA or an IRA plus a taxable account, and then, you know, to have an advisor manage that based on the goals and objectives, not taking more risk than is necessary, but also still keeping access to the capital in case she needs it down the road. The other approach would be to go back into a new annuity, either the one he's describing or another one, which is going to transfer the risk to the insurance company and give you a guaranteed rate of return, which may make everyone sleep better at night, even though you know have some downsides to that. So what do you think is perhaps the best thing for you guys based on that?
Well, I guess I'm wondering, when they say we have a guaranteed 5.1 interest rate, is that what she would gain on her monies every year, or is that over the 5-year term?
No, it should be every year, and it would be, it sounds like it's for a 5-year term, so that, you know, that would be a very attractive rate. I'd want to confirm that, but yeah, that wouldn't be a bad thing at all. I mean, the best you could do right now in a CD of maybe 15 or 18 months is probably 4.6%, 4.75% perhaps, but you're not certainly going to see anything over 5%. So I think, you know, that wouldn't be a bad option to get a decent rate of return and lock it in for 5 years.
And then what does it mean when it says it has a guaranteed annuitization rate of 1.5%? What is that?
Yeah, so the annuitization rate is the payout. So typically at the end of the term, you can either take the money out or you can annuitize, which just means you'd take that same amount of money and convert it to an income stream for the rest of her life. And they're telling you what the payout would be based, you know, every month based on the balance. So you obviously need to get more details to just read all the fine print and make sure what you're getting. But there's an accumulation period, and that's where you've got this guaranteed rate of return. And then there's an annuitization or a distribution period where you convert it to an income stream paid back to your mom. But in this case, her bills are covered, so she's not really looking for a monthly income stream. She just wants to protect it and grow it the best she can until she were to need it or until it gets passed on.
Yes. Okay. Then I probably need to look a little bit more into this and ask this advisor a little more questions too.
I think so. And perhaps get another advisor to weigh in and give you some other ideas as well. Not, you know, from the bank. And if you wanted somebody else to weigh in on this, I would head to our website, faithfi.com, and just click find a CKA and maybe contact two or three certified Kingdom advisors, find one that you think's a good fit and, you know, run this whole thing by him or her to just get a second opinion on how you should be thinking about this. So all the best to you, Amanda. It sounds like you've got a little bit of legwork ahead of you, but I'm grateful for your call and that you're walking alongside your mom. This is what we should be doing in this season of life. So thanks for checking in with us. To Austin, Texas. Hey, Arthur, go right ahead, sir.
You know, I was building my credit up and stuff like that, and because of health situations for my wife and I, I've gotten behind. But you know, we wanted to purchase a house, you know. But the thing about it now, it's kind of just like everything was shot. You know, you got shot down, and so I don't know what to do. Who do I go to? I have some bills, and I want to be responsible. I want to pay them. You know, people tell you, just do bankruptcy. But, you know, I don't know if that's the right way for me.
I would try to avoid that if at all possible, Arthur. And I realize that, you know, the circumstances of life, we live in a fallen world and things can be very challenging. And so what we want to do is just try to be faithful with what God has entrusted to us and try to honor our commitments the best we can. And if you're forced into bankruptcy, that's one thing. But if you're not, let's try to pay this back outside of that. What I would do next, Arthur, is first make a list of all your bills and determine exactly what you owe on each of them, including the medical debt. Total that up, then put together a spending plan that hopefully allows you to have some margin so that you can pay all your bills and have something left over at the end of the month. And I'd look to cut every available expense you can. So beyond your utilities and your house payment or rent payment, keeping, you know, gas in the car and keeping food on the table, everything else should be up for grabs, so to speak, because we're looking to create margin that you can apply to debt reduction. You might want to look to work more hours if you can to get your income up also. And then once you know how much you have extra each month, I'd contact each creditor and ask to get on a payment plan or ask if they'll take a reduced lump sum payment to close out the account once you build up a few months worth of surplus so you can knock these out, you know, once and for all. And then I'd use the snowball method. That's basically where once you know how much you have to pay to each creditor, start doing that, but put all of your extra funds on the smallest debt. And once you pay that off, that's going to give you some encouragement, Arthur, which you need right now when you're in a situation like this, to keep going. And then keep going right down the line until you get it all paid off. Don't transfer any of this to credit cards, even if they offer you an option to do that. We're going to pray for you, my friend. Thanks for checking in with us today. Let us know how it turns out. God bless you. Let me say thanks to my team today, providing great research today. My good friend Robert Sutherland in the producer seat today. Devin Patrick handling our phones today was Pat Montague. Can't do it without this amazing team, plus everybody behind the scenes doing all the production work and script writing and everything else that goes into producing this broadcast. We have an amazing team here and very, very grateful for them. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow for the Friday edition of Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.